God is so good. Amen. Can you believe it's June 11th? I hope you're buying your Christmas presents. Because, you know, you're going to blink and it's going to be here. Praise the Lord. Now we're blessed to go to the Word of God. And we're starting on a new series now in June called Strong and Courageous. Strong and Courageous. And of course, our text for that is going to come out of the book of Joshua. Many of you maybe have already memorized Joshua 1:9, where the Lord tells him to be strong and courageous. And he tells him several times in three verses. But we're going to open up this morning in our series on Strong and Courageous by reading Joshua 1, verses 6 through 9. And then we're going to pray, and we're going to look at the life of Joshua and at our lives. Joshua 1, verse 6 starts out by saying, "Be strong," there it is, "be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them." In other words, I have a calling for you. I've called you to something, and you're gonna bring it to pass. So you're going to need to be strong and courageous. Okay, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, only be very strong, or only be strong and very courageous, rather. Being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. What he's saying right there is that when you follow me, when I'm holding out my hand and you take my hand and we walk together, you're going to be successful. Yeah. And then he says, this book, and he's saying, and the key to this is this book of the law. Now, we're going to be looking at this in a little bit more detail. We'll look at it a little bit today, but we're going to continue to look at it. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. He's saying you need to be speaking these things. We need to be speaking these things to one another. But you shall meditate on it day and night. Be thinking about the Word of God, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. In other words, if you take my word and you speak my words and you meditate on it day and night, he says, then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That was night 3, I think, of our VBS. Night 3, wow, God. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Your God is with you. Wow. Okay, let's do that again. The kids are way better than you. God is with you.
Wow.
Wow. Okay. Wow, God. He's with you wherever you go. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your faithfulness. We know, Lord God, that you love us, that you made us, that you're for us, that you're with us, that you love us. And there's another one that I can't remember now. Lord, we just want to thank you and praise you, God, for what you taught the children this week at Vacation Bible School and what you want to teach us now these next several weeks, Lord God, about being very strong and being very courageous. Lord, open up our hearts and our minds to see you and to hear from you. And Lord Jesus, to dare. To dare to be and to do things that we've maybe been afraid to do in the past, because you're telling us now to be strong, to be courageous, because you are with us. You have commanded us. We thank you for our God, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Someone's amening me back there. I like that. Praise the Lord. God is so good. When the Lord tells Joshua to be strong and courageous, Joshua's understanding of what the Lord is urging him to be and to do is based upon history. In other words, Joshua had a history with the Lord. We're gonna look back at that in just a moment. And this wasn't the first time God had told Joshua to be strong and courageous. In Deuteronomy 31, we'll read it three different times. I'm not going to go there right now, and I might not get to it. But when Moses had laid hands on Joshua and set him apart years, you know, before this, because Moses was not going to be able to take the children of Israel into the promised land, and God had chosen Joshua to be a leader. He had told him then to be strong and courageous. But the first thing that we need to ask each other today, and the first thing that I want to ask you today is, again, Joshua's understanding of being strong and courageous is based on his history with God. He has a history with God. In other words, he's seen God move in his life. So here's the question for each one of us today. Do you have a history with the Lord? Do you have a history with the Lord? In other words, when God says to you, be strong and courageous, do you have something that you can look back at in the history of your life and say, wow, God was with me in this situation back in 1983, back in 1989, back in 1995, back in 2004, God was with me in this situation. And so when God says to you, be strong and courageous, you can look back at something and say, wow, God was with me in the past. And so he's going to be with me again even now. If he's telling me again to be strong and courageous, I know that God was there before, so I know he'll be with me again. Now, maybe you're here today and you don't have a history. Maybe you're saying, I can't pinpoint anything down. I can't think of anything where God showed himself strong in my life. Don't worry. If you are someone who has yielded your life to Jesus Christ, and if you are someone who believes in him, if you are someone who meditates on his word day and night, if you are someone who is doing your best to follow him as we can in this flesh, then guess what? God is in the business of building up a history with you. God is going to be building a history with you. So if you can't look back right now and say, oh, this is something that God did in my life, don't be discouraged, as he said here. Do not be dismayed, because he's with you and he's going to show himself strong in your life and he's going to do something in your life. And he's going to say, we're building some history here. This is what Samuel called it. He took a stone and he called it Ebenezer. And that means, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. In other words, he could look back at something. He could look at that stone and say, hitherto hath the Lord helped me. God has shown himself strong. This is why some of us journal and we write things down, because what we can do is when we write these things down, we can go back and look at them years later, or some of them, you know, some for me, I don't have everything written down, but as someone who's been blessed to be called to speak for the Lord, I've told some stories over and over and over again. And they are things that I can go back to. And I can say, God showed himself strong in my life. So when God says to me, be strong and courageous, does that mean that takes away, you know, all the anxiety? Well, maybe not. That's right. There might even be a little bit of anxiety, because does it ever get easy to go into difficult situations or to do something that God is calling you to do? You know, imagine if you were asked to take a class and to teach a class, or if you were to come up here and to speak up here, or if you were called to teach Vacation Bible School and try to do what Joel and Ron were doing, you'd be thinking, oh my gosh, I can't do that. But then God would say to you, be strong and courageous. And then he would say, remember when you used to teach the three-year-olds? I was there with you. I can strengthen you now to teach the first through fifth graders or whatever. There's things in your past that God's going to draw on, that he's going to grab from. And when he says, be strong and courageous, you're going to be able to say, wow, God showed himself strong in my life. So the story of Joshua doesn't begin here in Joshua chapter 1. And to go back to the very first reference, we're going to go back there, and I'm going to fly right now. Let's get our wings on. And we're going to go back to Exodus chapter 17 because this is really the first place where we see Joshua is in Exodus chapter 17. So we're going way back to the very beginning. And we're going to read verses 8 to 16. Joshua 17, verses 8 to 16. It starts out by saying this: "Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua," this is the first time his name is mentioned in the Bible, "choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek. And while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, this is very important. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this as a memorial in a book and recite it in the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and called the name of it, "The Lord is my banner," Jehovah Nissi or Yahweh Nissi, and saying, "A hand upon the throne of the Lord. The Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." And so here's the story of Joshua's first meeting. He's the general of the nation of Israel. He's the one that is called. It says, "Moses said to Joshua, choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." And there's three things really quickly, very briefly, that we're gonna show about this. Number one, God does not take lightly the rebellion of men against him. God does not take lightly the rebellion of men against him. And in this instance, the Amalekites were descendants of Abraham. They came from Abraham's line. They were Semitic, but they were not Jewish. They came through the line of Esau. And so they were in a sense brothers. But what they were doing here, and verse 16 really brings it out, and some of our translations, we don't really see it. You might even miss it here in any of the translations, but actually the most Young's literal translation really shows that what was happening here was that Amalek was raising its hand against the throne of God. They were rebelling against the throne of God. And that's, verse 16 says this, saying, wait, and verse 15, "And Moses built an altar and called the name of the Lord," called the name of it rather, "The Lord is my banner," saying, "A hand upon the throne." In other words, the Amalekites had lifted up their hand against the throne of God, of the Lord. "The Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." And Saul was called, of course, as we know, to wipe them out, and he disobeyed. And we know that God was against them because the Bible tells us that in Esther's day, that Agag, the Amalekite, was against the Jews, but God defeated him. But here's a quote that I wanted to read from Dr. Francis Schaeffer real quick about this. Listen to what he says. "The war of the Amalekites against Israel was not just the surrounding world making war with God's people. The war was a blow against the throne of God. The Amalekites were challenging with the sword God's rule, God's throne, God's rightful place over all the world. Exodus 17, 16 indicates that the Amalekites understood something of the fact that they were fighting not only against the Israelites, but also against the God who stood behind the Israelites. One can question how much knowledge they had," he writes, "but their actions," listen to this, "remind me of 20th century man," or we could say 21st century man, "who understand that what they are really fighting against is at least the concept of the Judeo-Christian religion and the culture which was based upon it." You see, we are in a war today, brothers and sisters. You and I are in a war today. Men, we're in a war today. And, you know, as Father's Day is coming up, I believe it's a week from today, as Father's Day is coming up, and, you know, men, we need to stand up as mighty warriors in the day and age in which we're living in. Joshua was told by God to be strong and courageous because he was facing an enemy. And men, we are facing an enemy today. There is an enemy that is coming against our families. There is an enemy that is coming against the Church of Jesus Christ in powerful ways. And we have to be prepared for it. As a matter of fact, just this week, the enemy reared his ugly head in one of the confirmation hearings for an appointee of our president. And in this hearing, this person was attacked by another senator because of his faith in Jesus Christ. This is what happened. There was a woman who was a professor at Wheaton College. How many of you know what Wheaton College is? It's like the Harvard of Christian colleges. It's the hardest to get into of the Christian liberal arts colleges. It's not a place where you go to train. Well, you could go to train there to be a minister, and many do. But it's a liberal arts college. Well, there was a professor there who, back in January of 2016, stood up and said these words in her classes, and she made an issue of it. Allah and the God that we serve as Christianity is the same God. This is what she said. Allah and the God of Christianity is the same God. Now, I need you to know, that's not true. That is not true. And so this man that is an appointee to the Office of Management and Budget for the White House, who is a solid Christian, was an alumni of Wheaton College. And he wrote a paper about this because Wheaton College had to take a strong stand. And this woman had to be fired because, listen, this is and many of you who sat in my class where we talked about Islam and the end times, this is what one of the surahs from the book of Quran says about Allah. He begets not, nor is he begotten. He begets not, nor is he begotten. What does that mean? Let's speak English, Pastor Mike. He is not a father, and he does not have a son. This is what Islam teaches. It's one of their tenets. And so this man came out in a paper, and he condemned. He said that, well, let me give you the exact words. I don't want to say weak. He said, this is a fundamental problem. He said, Muslims do not simply have a deficient theology. They do not know God because they have rejected Jesus Christ, his son, and they stand condemned. He wrote this in a paper for Wheaton College, one of his alumni. Now, he is now being on the stage for a position in the government. And a senator came out strongly against him because of this statement and said that he is not fit. Let me give you the exact quote. As he was attacking him, and as the senator was trying to say, I'm a Christian, about these words that he wrote. And this one senator said to him, I understand you are a Christian, but this country is made up of people who are not just, I understand that Christianity is the majority religion, but there are other people of different religions in this country and around the world. In your judgment, do you think that people who are not Christians are going to be condemned? He said, thank you for probing on that question. As a Christian, I believe that all individuals are made in the image of God and are worthy of dignity and respect regardless of their religious beliefs. I believe that as a Christian, that's how I should treat all individuals. And he's interrupted by the senator who says, do you think that's respectful of other religions? I would simply say, Mr. Chairman, that this nominee is really not someone who this country is supposed to be about. Where do we stand? See, when I say be strong and courageous, we are living in a day and age where it's going to take strength and courage to stand up for Jesus Christ, to stand up for what's true. So let me ask you this. Do you want a man like that who believes in Jesus Christ and who believes that if you don't follow Jesus, that you won't go to heaven? Do you want a man like that serving in your government? Well, there are many people who don't. many politicians who don't. And they are, and that's one of the main places we are being attacked, is by our government. And we can't back down. We can't be afraid. I'm sorry for the turn this took, but this was just so vivid to me and real to me today. As I was, this happened, by the way, Wednesday. We're not talking about years ago this happened or a long time ago. This happened on Wednesday, where a man is being told he's not fit to govern because he believes that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. See, it's coming to a head. It's been coming to a head for a long time. But we need to be strong. We need to be courageous. And we need to know what we believe. We need to know what we believe and why we believe it, as opposed to what we do not believe and why we do not believe it. Do you believe that Allah and the God that we serve, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, are the same God? There's a problem if you do. Then you don't understand who God really is. You don't understand about the God that we serve, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and you don't understand about Allah. And we need to have understanding. Does this mean that Pastor Mike hates Muslims? Absolutely not. We do not desire for any man to die, the Bible says, but for all men to come to repentance. But how can they come to repentance if they think they're okay? You know, it's the same way with you and me. If you are not convinced that you are a sinner, separated from God, you won't call upon God. So when the Church of Jesus Christ stops preaching about sin, guess what happens? Everybody joins the church and they all think they're okay. And they've never dealt with their sin. They've never dealt with their rebellion. They've never repented of their sins. This is a problem. And this is why America is where it is today. The America is not the way it is today because of Democrats and Republicans. America is the way it is today because the Church of Jesus Christ has not been doing its job. The Church of Jesus Christ has been afraid. We have not been strong and courageous. We have not stood up for truth. We need to be strong and courageous today. What's it based upon? What is it based upon? I'm going to call the worship team up because I'm going over here, but that's okay. The second thing I want to show you, just real quick, I'm just going to name this point, and then I'm going to go on to the third point real quick, and then we're going to close with a song. Here's the second point. First of all, God does not take lightly the rebellion of men against him. And let me tell you, God is not going to take lightly the rebellion of men against him, and let's not join with it. Let's stand firm in our faith. But here's the second thing. Power is not merely the power of the general and the sword. But power is the power of God. Listen, Joshua and the men of Israel that went to fight that battle, they didn't win that battle. Because when Moses' hands came down, guess who was winning? The Amalekites. And when Moses' hands went back up, guess who was winning? The Israelites. The power was not in the general or in the sword. The power was in God. And that shows another powerful principle, that when Moses couldn't hold his hands up, guess what? Others were holding his hands up. We need one another. That's why when you say, I want to become a member of Edgewood Baptist Church, what you're doing is you're saying, I want to help hold up your hands. I want to help look at your neighbor and say, I want to help hold up your hands. We need one another. Excuse me. We need to be in prayer for one another. That's what's so powerful about Monday nights. And I know we can't all make it on Monday night. Some of us work. But we need to be praying at home, and we need to be saying, Lord, help me to increase my prayer time. Help me to increase my holding up of one another's hands. And that's my prayer for myself as well. I don't do it enough. In order for us to be strong and courageous, we need to recognize that the power is not merely the power of the general or the sword. The power is the power of God. So we need to stand up and be strong for our faith. We need to speak out against when our faith is being attacked as it is right now. We need to stand up, but we need to understand that the battle isn't mine. The battle is the Lord's. I can't win this fight. My enemy isn't the Democrats and the Republicans. My enemy is the powers and the principalities right now that are ruling up over there. And I'm praying for the eyes of these people to be opened. We need eyes to be opened, and the only way that eyes can be opened is the preaching of the Word of God, because that's the next point. This is what what God said to Moses in verse 14. The Lord said to Moses, write this as a memorial in a book. Write this as a memorial in a book. Now listen, when you read it right there, it sounds like it's just starting to be written. And most of the translations don't show that the definite article is there in the Hebrew. It's not write this as a memorial in a book. It is literally write this as a memorial in the book. There's a book that had already been started. If you go back to Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, it says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made man in the likeness of God. This is the book of the... See, God had spoken to Moses, and Moses had begun to write down. And every one of these first five letters, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, well, not Leviticus, but the other four, it all says how God spoke to Moses to write this down. Write this in the book so that Joshua can remember. Why? So that when I go back and I tell him, you know, 40 years from now, because this happened at the very beginning, and the children of Israel were gonna go through 40 years of wandering in the desert. When I tell him 40 years from now to be strong and courageous, he's gonna be able to say, I have a history with God. I can go back and remember when I fought the Amalekites and he was with me. It wasn't my sword. It wasn't my prowess as a general that did it. It was the power of God that did it, and the power of God is for you. But we have a standard that we go by. Listen, when we're as Christians, we don't go by what society says is right. Society is not our standard. What the Democrats and the Republicans tell us is right or wrong, that's not our standard. What the world says, what your classmates in school say is right or wrong, that's not your standard. That's not what you go by. You have a book that tells you what truth is. And this is the standard we go by. This is what I go by. He said to me, write this down. We're going to be talking more about that in the weeks to come, because there's so much here to talk about, this book that God has written for us, which he told Joshua to meditate on it day and night and to speak its words and don't let them out of your mouth. How easily we let the words of God out of our mouth. I don't want to go up there right now, but what I want you to know is today, that if it is your heart to follow Jesus, and if it is your heart to know him, and if it is your heart to make him known, then I want you to know today that he wants to build some history with you. He wants to show himself strong in your life, and he wants you to know that he can give you strength and courage to stand up in a time and in a society that is not pro-Christian, that is against Christianity. He wants to give you the strength to be able to stand up against this tide. He's saying to you this morning, be strong and courageous. And I want you to know that he's good. He's good. And I want you to know that he's never going to let you down. Let's stand and worship the Lord this morning.